Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome back. Today is Wednesday, October 18th, and Rachel's with me.
Good morning.
And yesterday we were not together because a computer
screwed up. Technical difficulties.
I had to call you and ask you to turn around, go back.
I was literally pulling out of my garage, joint in hand.
Well, at least you were close to turning back home, you know? Can you imagine if you came all the way here? I had to tell the guest she was all the way here already.
Yeah.
I had to tell her to turn back.
Luckily, I only live 10 minutes away.
Yeah. So technology will do this for you, and sometimes it really sticks it to me in the morning when I get here, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why all the ghosts in the machine happen at night.
Mm-hmm.
So you come in the morning, and it's fucked up.
You have to be smarter than the computer.
Right, you know? And I really felt like out of sorts without doing a show in the morning.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's sort of like it's a diarrhea of the mouth. You got to let it out. You got to release it before you can go on with your day.
That's
maybe
one
that's
way
why I'm
to
doing
look
it,
at it.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, there's a lot of shit that comes out of your mouth.
Exactly. You know, and it's like taking a shit in the morning. So you take a shit here on the show, and you feel a lot lighter during the day. In a few minutes, we're going to be joined by a couple of great guests. We're going to be talking about a relevant topic that they featured in their film. And we've been having a lot of great people lately,
mm-hmm.
huh?
Yeah.
It's amazing. So we're going to talk about their film and everything. They seem like fun guys, and we told them they can use whatever language they want. So they're happy. They feel in their element, and there you go. So I understand you had a performance last night?
Yep, I was at
that. Was it like a last-minute thing or something? Because I didn't even know about it.
No, I've been talking about it all week. Maybe you just weren't listening.
I thought you were talking about the Wednesday one.
No, I was like, I have a bunch of shows this week. I had Ice House last night. I have Comedy Store tonight. And then I have Flappers on Sunday. And then Molly Malone's on Monday. Just a few, not to brag. But
look at you. No. Now, why are you bragging? You're proud of what you're doing.
I mean, but last night was awesome. The Ice House is a nice, it's a nice
I love
club.
The Ice House. It's my favorite.
I've never performed in the main room, so that was a good...
Oh, you were in the main
yeah,
room?
Yeah. And I was the only girl on the show again, which is typical. I love that.
Pretty funny women,
I love
you're
that.
The only one there.
But tonight, yeah, I'm on an all-female show.
Uh-huh.
It was good. It was a good... Mike Favorman, who we had here as a guest, he was on the show last night.
Yeah.
Kirk Smith,
uh-huh.
who was here as a guest, he
oh,
was on
really?
The show. It was a good
How
time.
Cool.
Yeah.
So you were with your friends pretty much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Good
so was the show good? Was the audience good?
Oh, the audience is great, but there was like a couple hecklers, and I'm like still getting in my, you know what I mean? Like I'm such a baby comic. So like I haven't really had my opportunity to like shut down a heckler.
Right.
But there was just this woman in the back. For me, at least in my set, she was like a very supportive heckler, but my material is very smart. So a comic told me that something I said like shut her down because she turned to her friend. I said something about flu shots and she turns to her friend. She's like, oh yeah, flu shots. I told you that shit was bad. So like I was able to finish, you know, like she stopped heckling enough in time for me to get my punchlines out.
God.
Thank you. But yeah, I had a good
How
set.
Was she heckling? What was she doing?
So typically like this heckler in particular is the type of heckler that thinks like the comic is directly talking to her and that the questions aren't rhetorical.
Right.
So like a time a comic will ask a question, she will be answering, but loud enough for the entire room to answer. She's
right,
not just talking
right.
to her friends. So, and that fucks up, you know, that it, one, typically the servers or whatever will come by and ask them. Cause it really, like if you can't get your punchlines out, it's a wash. It's just,
right.
it'll fuck up your whole set, a bad heckler.
Yeah.
Unless, you know, you can shut them down yourself.
Right.
But like usually it's like the servers or whatever, the club should get them to like
Yeah. You see, that would distract me.
It did distract me because a couple of my punchlines, you know, maybe they got out and they landed, but like I also, because it's distracting, so I'm not remembering, you know.
What if you told her right there and then, you know, it's distracting, so why don't you shut the fuck up and let me finish my...
Well, I don't know if that'll make me any more likable than her.
Right.
You just got to figure it out.
That's true, right? So you have to be on your toes to really be prepared.
You have to be
like
in the moment. That's the hard thing, is like, because you're saying material that you've prepared, but you also have the challenge of trying to be in the moment. Where is there an opportunity someone gives you to be, you know, to be funnier or whatever?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's interesting.
Cool. And Mike, was he as controversial as ever?
he had a joke last night that all of his stuff is so funny, but I love hearing stuff that I haven't heard before. And I was like, I told him I have a new favorite joke. He has this joke about people who make out in public. I'm going to butcher this joke, but you have to see him do it. And he said, the next time that you see people making out in public, and he goes and he puts his hand down in his pants and like starts like, he's like, just do that. Just start masturbating to them in public and see. I was like, oh my God. Hilarious. It's so true.
Yeah. Wow. He's pretty controversial. Did he touch on anything controversial last night?
I don't think so. Taylor, my friend who is a booker, but he books these shows, but he's also a huge comic, and we should have him come on. He's really great. Uh-huh. He talked on a bunch of controversial things, but like his style of comedy is different in a sense of like, he does the type of jokes where he'll talk for a while and you don't know where this is going, and like you want to hate him, and then he'll come out of nowhere with like a punchline and it'll tie it all together and you're like, this man is the most hilarious guy you've ever, you know, brilliant. You know what I mean? So yeah,
sounds good. Mm-hmm. Okay, so if tonight people want to see you, the Comedy Store?
Yeah, I'm in the Comedy Store Belly Room at 8 p.m.
Okay,
pretty funny one.
sounds good. The world is full of comics. We need more jokes and laughter.
There's that. Also, there's such a place for women in comedy because, like we talked about and said before, you look at any lineup at any of the big clubs and it's 20 dudes and like one or two female comics. So it makes me feel like I have a shot.
Yeah, you know? You're special.
So
there you go. All right, folks, we're going to be joined by our guests right now who are sitting here feverishly working on their phones, but that's what we do today, folks. We're welcomed by filmmakers. We have Dan Jensky and Luke Golden in the studio. Welcome to the show, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Oh, I didn't turn on your mic. Say it again.
Good morning.
There you go. Dan and Luke, thank you for joining us this morning. You guys made a film, and it's called Addicted. ADD.
Mm-hmm.
ICTED. So this is about ADD, ADHD, and everything that goes with it.
Yeah.
Right? So now, this is not a documentary. This is a feature film.
Narrative, yeah.
Right, yeah. And then you're the director of the film?
Writer-director.
Okay, so you wrote the film as well.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And is this based pretty much on your own experience in life?
Bits of it. There's elements that I personally went through. There's things people have told me. There's stories I've seen other people go through.
Yeah.
And it was just kind of like wrap it all up, put a bow on it, and tell a story that is very relevant and I just feel needs to be talked about because we're over-medicated to the nth degree, and this is one pill that doesn't get talked a lot about.
Which one?
Adderall.
Adderall. So that's
It does get talked about it, but it's in a glorified sense of like it's a commodity, especially around finals. Mm. And cleaning and
she's
accomplishing tasks.
Okay.
What I meant by that was that,
right.
Like,
talk closer to the mic, then. I need you closer.
Okay.
There you go.
The opioid abuse.
Yeah.
It's so easy to say that's bad. It's like heroin. And like what you just said, there's like a reward to Adderall. You accomplish things, and so people know about it, but it's not demonized because of the benefits.
Even though it has the same genetic compound makeup of basically meth, right?
Yeah, it's like its cousin, essentially.
Yeah,
wow. So we'll talk more about the film. Luke, welcome to the show. So Dan is the writer-director. What do you do in the film?
Just an actor.
You're just an actor, right?
Show up. Just show up.
So how many... I noticed you have quite a cast, and we'll talk about that too and everything. We'll acknowledge everybody. But how did you guys meet?
Casting process.
There's really?
First time. Were you in the initial reads? Just the callbacks.
Yeah. Yeah. So you went for an audition once. They liked you. Right. Do you know how many people you were competing with for that part?
I don't know. That's a Dan question. Or what was casting was...
Ann Forey.
Ann Forey. So yeah, that could be a question for her as well. Okay. But she's not here.
Yeah, I mean...
All right. Well, a couple dozen maybe, or not as many?
I mean... We really like. We.
I mean, I'm trying to see how cool he was among all the other people.
I think it was about 1,000.
Like 10. I heard it was like at least 100,000.
Yeah. All right, we're not going to get an answer on that one, so let's move on.
Yeah.
All right. So you met through the casting and everything. Let's talk a little bit about you guys. We'll come back to the movie and the whole topic and the subject matter and everything, because I think it's very important. You know, I remember my kids grew up in the 90s and they were exposed to Adderall and all that stuff, you know, and I was never happy with it. So it's a good thing you guys are taking this thing head on, you know.
Yeah.
So for those of you who don't know, Dan, you live here in L.A. And look, you're in New York, Dan was saying?
New York, but recently an L.A. transplant. So.
Oh, really? So you just moved in, moved here recently?
Yeah, made it official at the beginning of September. So
really?
Yeah. Well done.
Is it because the work is here?
Yeah, and the weather.
Yeah, the weather too, right? Mean, you can't beat that, right?
Yeah, I was out here for a couple of months, kind of leading into the summer, and things seemed pretty good in the way I was going, so I decided, let me do it a little longer term out here.
Right. But isn't this town a little too slow for you? I mean, coming from New York.
You know, it is. It takes a lot longer to get a sandwich and a coffee, that's for certain, you know.
Plus, you walk into a restaurant, it doesn't smell like food, you know. In New York, you walk in, you smell the bakeries, everything outside on the street.
That's true.
New York
the pizzas,
also has
the
its
peanuts.
Own scent.
Yeah.
Of trash and dog
urine.
Shit.
A lot of scents, yeah. There's a lot of smells going around.
But it's cool because you get to walk there. Here, you don't walk, right?
I walk. I live in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, but you're right.
Yeah, we don't walk far. I mean, you know, we walk around for fun, but
we don't want blocks to get to. Yeah. Blocks is like, we hear blocks in L.A. and you're like, fuck, you gotta take an Uber.
And we're in New York, New York City?
New York City,
really?
Yeah.
Is that where you were born and raised?
Born in Wisconsin, but pretty much raised in, I like to say I grew up in Brooklyn. Most of my years, my informative years were in Brooklyn.
Right, but you're Midwest.
I have the Midwest, mentality.
Yeah, but you were young when you moved?
One.
Oh, one, okay. So you're not really Midwest.
Yeah, don't even mention it.
No, he's a New Yorker, folks.
Yeah, New York.
Yeah, don't
York.
Kid yourselves. Cool.
His roots. So,
yeah. And Dan, are you originally from here?
I'm Midwest.
You're Midwest too?
Yeah. Combination through high school, lived outside Chicago, and then parents moved to Missouri. So that's kind of been the home since then. I haven't been to Chicago since 2005. So through and through, and then 2005 moved out here, and I'm a little bits of all the places feel like home, but this is truly home.
Really?
Yes.
How long ago was that you moved here?
Fall of 2005.
2005, so it's about 12 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, wow, so it is home for you now.
Absolutely.
So you grew up in Missouri?
Outside Chicago.
But then you moved to Missouri, right?
That was when college years.
Right.
And anytime I went to go visit while out here, I'd go to Missouri.
I see. Okay, so college years... So you're a filmmaker. You decided consciously to be that?
Nope.
No?
Nope.
How did it happen?
The universe guided me on that one. I wasn't even supposed to end up at Missouri, but it happened. And when I was there, I started taking the University of Missouri.
Okay.
And I started taking just some acting classes to like fill in, you know, prerequisites and stuff like that. And a seed was planted. You know, I went into college thinking law school, and I'm like, no, I think I have something here that I really, truly love.
Ah.
And so
law was just something that was, what, expected of you? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Are you from a family of lawyers?
No,
right?
That's the irony of
it. Yeah, it's right?
Like, why does everyone expect everyone to be... I come from a family of lawyers, and they expect me to be a lawyer, but like everyone's like, you should be a lawyer.
Right, because it's considered like
an accomplished... What kind of world would we live in if everyone was a fucking lawyer?
Exactly.
We need other things.
Right? Yeah, and besides lawyers, most people don't like lawyers anyway. You know?
No, it depends on who you ask. Some people love
exactly.
lawyers.
Yeah, I guess, right? But lawyers have a certain reputation and stuff. But I think the thing is that, yeah, they're accomplished people, they're smart people, and they make a lot of money.
The thing that's funny to me is people think that to like just be a lawyer, but like they don't actually realize the amount of work it takes to be a lawyer is the same amount of work it would take to be anything else that you would be successful at, and it's just as much competition. It's hard to be a successful lawyer because everyone wants to be a fucking lawyer.
Right?
You know
right.
what I mean?
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Might it's as well do what you want to do.
I think it's a respectable profession.
Yeah, it is.
It is. It's 100% respectable, but like. I come from a family of lawyers, and to see my sister, she's 5 years younger, she's a young lawyer, and she got where she is because my family was in law. Right. Like she would have to work even harder, you know what I mean? And she worked really hard.
Yeah, I'm sure. Wow. And look, what about you? Growing up, what did you want to do?
Oh, man. It's interesting, you know? I kind of think about these things a lot, and I really didn't have until I was a little older, maybe kind of going into high school and stuff. But growing up, it was just kind of like, oh, you know, whatever was in front of you, you kind of just were interested with. So I didn't really have somebody drilling me, you should be a lawyer, a doctor, or pretty much anything specific. So I had kind of just a wealth of options.
Yeah,
you know,
that's
like
cool.
Cowboy.
You know, so no pressure from your parents or anything to do.
No, yeah, it was.
What about after high school, like college, things like
that? So when I got into high school, I really was. I was introduced to a lot of different things, and when I was growing up, I was into some of the theater and stuff. But then I moved around quite a bit. So when you then get moved, then my other school had athletics, so I got involved with that. But when I got into high school, I really started wanting to getting into film and TV, and my high school had a bodybuilding show, so I got involved with competitive bodybuilding with the hope to use that to segue into the entertainment industry.
Oh, cool, and that will help you, right? I mean, it doesn't hurt to have a good body, you know?
Yeah, without your health, you have nothing, you know? But it's interesting, growing up in Brooklyn, like, you are in the city and you are in New York, but a lot of people who are from kind of the boroughs like Brooklyn and the Bronx, Staten Island or whatever, it is kind of a world away to get into Manhattan where all the stuff is happening. So you are close by proximity as far as, you know, a lot of the great acting schools and opportunities, but relatively far away with, you know, just information.
Yeah, yeah. Do you have siblings, brothers,
I do.
Sisters?
One older.
Really?
Yes.
A brother?
A sister.
Oh, a sister. Wow.
Yeah.
What was that like? I mean, having a bigger sister, I always wondered what that would be like.
It has its pluses, you know what I mean? It has, you know, everything is, it can, I guess it's the eye of the beholder. It was good. I'm not sure she's going to be watching or listening to this, but I'll just be careful and I'll say it was good.
All right. Are you guys close, though?
Yeah, close enough.
That's good. Yeah. Dan, what about you? Any siblings?
I have a younger sister by a year and a half.
Oh, okay, cool. And so I wanted to ask you, Luke, you faced college then. Did you go to college? Did you decide you're going to go?
I did. I went to University of Florida. Go Gators.
Oh, wow. I know several people that have been there. So what made you decide to go with that one?
You know, I only applied to a couple of colleges, and University of Florida, for some reason, the acceptance letters came really late. So I didn't really know where I wanted to go. I just knew I needed to kind of get out of the city for a little bit.
Right.
And I was like, oh, man, I didn't get in. I didn't get in. This is the one I didn't get into. And then I started just building in my mind, man, I really wanted to go to that one.
Right?
So then finally when I got the letter that I got in, I'd never even been to Florida before, but I was like, you know, I'm going.
And you were delighted. Yeah. Wow.
I lived in Florida.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, where about?
South Florida,
okay.
Yeah. Where now, the University of Florida, what city is it in?
Gainesville.
In Gainesville, that's what I thought, yeah. I used to know, I knew at least a couple people that went there.
My aunt was a Gator.
Yeah? Mm-hmm. Is that the one where the quarterback got in trouble and all that stuff recently, like the college?
Which one?
God, I don't know.
That was Florida State.
Florida State, yeah. Thank you.
What happened with the
Jameis Winston? The whole, like, sexual.
Yeah, it was getting in trouble.
Oh, my God,
and all
that's every
shit.
Team. That's a lot going on. It's literally every college football team.
So, okay, so that's
NFL
Florida State.
Hollywood.
Okay. Yeah.
We had Tim Tebow. Do you remember that?
Yeah. He,
that's like kind of where.
Tebow?
Yeah, we had the Tebow mania going on.
Yeah, right?
Yeah. All we do is win. Exactly. That was the quote.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So you went to college. What were you planning on taking in college?
When I went in, I had done a couple of the bodybuilding shows. I had won basically Mr. T New York, and I just knew I needed time to develop my acting ability and my physique, and just right. Some things take time. So I knew that. So I didn't want to just be still. So I figured, let me do something while I have to just let time pass, basically. So right. I went to school and I studied business at first because Arnold Schwarzenegger studied business. True story. And then I...
So he was an idol of yours?
Oh yes. I
the bodybuilding part.
Definitely.
Kindergarten Cop.
Kindergarten Cop. Oh, yeah. Tops and True Lies.
True
Predator.
Lies,
you know, all
movie.
Of them. You know, True Lies was being filmed at the same time they were filming, what do you call it? I think it was it Point Break? But because James Cameron and
I remember the image of that poster for Point Break of like hanging off a cliff or just like it was like a very I have that because my dad liked that Point Break
movie. Yeah Point Break
and True Lies yeah
at the same time yeah. I mean pretty awesome the 90s were great so I just really looked up to Arnold as far as what he accomplished I mean coming over
amazing,
here not
right?
knowing not even really knowing English you know
right.
and then coming and doing some bodybuilding shows and winning young and then segueing just his business mentality, personality, everything.
So it's cool to focus on something, right? I mean, you realize bodybuilding and everything is going to help get you where you want to go. Now, did you plan like a... So when you went to college, did you plan on like a theater, film, things like that when you went in?
So I did... I was doing a business track major and then also Florida had a really good theater program.
Right.
And so I got involved with taking as many acting classes as I could. At the same time. So I had basically a minor or just a theater non-major kind of deal while I was in Florida.
Wow, very cool. Did you like going to school there?
Oh, it's great.
Really?
Yeah, definitely miss it. I look back fondly on it. It was a good time. I love Florida.
Awesome. And so the university you went to, which one was it?
University of Missouri Columbia. Oh. Go Tigers. I'm surrounded by gator and a
No. I have zero. I like play sports, but I don't. Yeah. I think it's whatever.
Yeah, it gets a little fanatical, but I just got to represent.
Yeah, colleges do identify with the sports teams,
and that's
stuff,
and that's the like you're supposed to be there for education.
Right.
It's like now it's all about the sports almost.
That's what it is. Those
like,
people.
Why are you paying a tuition at this point? You can learn most of that stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, right. That's crazy to me that people pay so much money for school when you can learn anything online.
Yeah.
The only thing you can't get is the experience, but just go out into the real world and get a job. And that will give you the same amount of social experience, you know?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like the degrees, the only, you know, law, medical, obviously.
Right. If you have if it's like a trade, you know, you need something to be.
Bachelor degrees are a dime a dozen now.
Yeah, there you go.
Still paying for mine.
Yeah.
Yeah. For those of you just joining us, we're talking to director Dan Jensky and the star of the movie Addicted, Luke Golden, and we're probably live everywhere in the world right now with the social media shit, but you guys keep focusing on that. I'll keep focusing on your movie and everything's cool. Did you notice how distracted
I'm
we
just
get
checking.
Up
I'm actually
phone.
Just checking email.
No, it's cool, man. Yeah.
Yeah, I did.
And
I
takes us back to the ADD now. How did that become relevant for you? I mean, why did you decide you want to make a film about this?
This has been about 7.5 years of a process, and at the time I just needed another idea, and they say write what you know. So I started on that, but along the way, the journey, you start seeing more and more people telling their stories. You know, I had a mom tell me on the we did a short film version of the film, and she's telling me her 6-year-old son's on an adult regimen of Adderall and takes sleeping pills at night.
Oh, wow.
And it's like she had tears in her eyes.
Yeah.
And you start hearing these things and you start seeing, like, you know, Adderall eclipsed $11 billion in sales in 2015 and it keeps going up and up. And, you know, obviously we're heavily prescription filled up country. And I just think that Adderall needs to be discussed. You know, making the film's one thing. You want to entertain as well, but just start the discussion of, like, how do we get people off these pills? Mm-hmm. Because you know, the opioid abuse and that kind of stuff gets all the attention because it's obvious. But when you have, you know, you can achieve goals, you can, you know, be focused, you can do like not, you can do next level stuff while on this, right, on these pills. And so no one thinks it's a problem. They just kind of go about their ways. So I just,
they see it as like a temporary fix to, absolutely, something that is a much,
right,
well, who knows if it's even a problem, you know? And yeah, why, yeah, do we rely on these pills, right? Absolutely. Like there's a reason,
yeah,
for it.
So the film we're discussing is Addicted, and Dan put this film together. You wrote and directed it, and then you discovered Luke, and you guys put your efforts together. I see you also have a great lineup of actors. We'll talk about them. But so you, did you grow up being prescribed Adderall yourself?
Thank God, no.
Why did you choose that when they told you go with something you know well?
Because, like I said, when I was a kid in the 90s, I was almost put on Ritalin. That was the precursor to Adderall.
Right.
You know, I wasn't dumb. I was getting into gifted classes, but it was my behavior. But, you know, you can look back and say, well, my diet was awful, like all most of ours are. You know, my parents were going through a divorce.
Not mine.
Yeah, right.
Well, not mine either now.
Mr. Olympia. Yeah.
What about, even back then you ate
clean. I just had to throw it in there. Right out of the womb. Yeah, right out of the womb eating clean.
You know. Just Superman.
He had like a protein shake literally out of, not even, still attached to the umbilical cord, like. I don't know if you heard me. I was lifting over 1,000 in there.
Chicken breast and broccoli.
But yeah, I know what it's like to be misunderstood as a kid. I was constantly, like I said, ending up in detention. I had a 5th grade through 8th grade were the worst years of my life.
Wow.
And
yeah.
I just, that's, you know, terrible. You can go back and self-actualize and see, well, maybe if this was different. Maybe
here's what I think. I had this discussion with Sam. I think the education system in this country does not work. I think that kids today are so overly stimulated, and kids want to learn. They want to learn. We are learners. We, as humans, we are built to learn, to grow, and to transcend. And the system in which is in place right now, where it's one person at the front, and sometimes if you're lucky, there's maybe 30 kids in the class. If you're not lucky, there's like 50, mm-hmm, and you're 5 years old, and you're just a number.
Huge.
Yeah.
And one instance of acting up, you're sent to the nurse's office and they get a psychiatrist on, and then next thing you know your kid has some disorder in the DSM that can't even be discovered by a blood test, right? It's just the opinion of someone who saw your kid for 5 minutes at one point at time in his life. And so I think that it starts with our education system and kind of realizing that it's not a one size fits all, just like nothing in our life is. We customize everything, our food, the way we watch TV, how we read the news. Everything in our lives is customizable. Why isn't our education, you know?
Because I think because of cost, really.
Who gives a fuck? Who gives a fuck about cost? That it should not come. It should not come to money when it comes to children's futures. And that's not true. Not you, but people saying that it's a cost. It's not. They've actually done studies. There's ways to make the education to revamp education that is a cost effective. But it's just late. It's just no one takes the charge on this. No one's going to want it to revamp an entire, just like healthcare. To redo an entire system that's been archaic and in place for years, it's not even about the money. It's just about changing the way people think. Like, people don't like change. They don't like to be different than what is, for fear of what's to happen. But who knows? It could be better.
But classes have been taught like this for thousands of years, no?
But it's not working. There's a reason. I can tell you. Well, let me tell you why.
Okay.
I'm just another example. I think for some people it does work. Some people
I agree with you.
But there's a lot of people it doesn't, and we're starting to see more that it just isn't the best way for kids to learn the way that the system is now. And because I can tell you, my parents sent me to those fancy schools. They paid for my education. They paid thousands upon thousands of dollars, and they could have sent me to public school, and I don't know if I would have gotten the same, much better or worse. But I didn't learn as much as I probably should have, and I don't think that's my fault necessarily. I was a kid. I was smart like him. You know, I wanted to learn. But there's a disconnect between the education system and the kids that are just being shipped to the nurse's office in hordes, in numbers, like as if they're just a price tag. you know?
Well, the problem is the current education system is modeled after the Industrial Revolution, mm-hmm. where it's a 9 to 5, you go to work, you don't ask questions, you work, and you get a break on the weekends. And right. so the education system was designed to get kids in that mentality mm. where they're drones.
And also there are studies mm. done that school starts way too early because sleep is very important to yeah. kids. You have to get enough hours of sleep. Even to adults, you have to. If your right. sleep is fucked up, everything is fucked up. Right. So they've done studies that kids who start, like, because sometimes homeroom's at 7:30, depending on the school, and they have it designed right. because, like you said, also because parents need to go to work, yep. so they have to drop their kids off in the morning, and then they have to go and be slaves at the corporate office or whatever. But it's just not the way the system is now. It's not effective. It's not working. We're seeing it. There's evidence. There's so much evidence. So yeah, something has to change. But otherwise, it's just going to keep being like this.
And I think it starts with the parents. I think you know, I'm actually proud of our generation. No disrespect. I think, you know, we were the video game generation, right?
Right,
we were the generation that got the Nintendos, and we saw a before and after of what it's like to not play outside, just stay indoors. It kind of went on for a good 15-20 years where our generation's like, I'm not doing that with my kid. You know, we're also pre-internet, post-internet, where I think we just have a better grasp. And I see all my friends and my family who have children now who all say the same thing. We need to fix the education system. They make their children the centers of their universe. Mm-hmm. And that's what the children have to lead the way. When mm-hmm. you're a kid, ask them, what do you want to do? And we do a good job with sports. We do a good job with, like, some of the arts. Like, do you want to dance, play an instrument?
But that's if the parents are even open to the arts, because a Absolutely. Lot of parents first, like, one-track mind is education. You need to be a doctor. You need to be a blah, blah, blah. You yeah. know, there's no creativity, no room for creativity or entrepreneurship, because it's like, here, you know.
That's got to change.
Yeah, yeah. So, look, how about you? When you approached the film, first of all, you went on a casting call, right?
I did.
And and you got the part. What part do you play in the movie?
I play the character of Drew Dawson, the lead, who's kind of going through this whole situation. I'm kind of just questioning where he is in life and where he's been, you know, where he's been and, you know, where he's going, you know, right. and all of these kind of pressures of what he should be, kind of like we were discussing just in, you know, real life about the lawyer thing and these professions that, you know, I think parents mean well, and they're just not exposed to a lot of things. But that seems like if you do work hard and you go to school, more than likely you're going to get a job. So
right.
they want the best for you, but it might not be best for the specific person going
right.
through it.
So simply because the parents know this is what has worked for us, mm-hmm. let us save you the trouble of all the failure and the hard time and just do what we tell you. But
yeah.
for you guys, it's different. It's a different generation.
Yeah, it's tough.
You
think
look
it's
at
tough.
Things differently.
Yeah, it's tough right. just kind of going
You're
through
that.
You're
actualizing yourselves more, I think, in the way that you pursue what
but
you want to do.
But it's also different. I mean, what worked for that generation, for our parents' generation, I mean, it's a different time. Like, to just be like, okay, be a lawyer, that was much easier for them because there was more opportunity to be a lawyer. There wasn't so much competition. People mm-hmm. People didn't have as many bachelor degrees or advanced degrees back in the day. So I right. feel like there was, like, my mom, you know, she was she became a lawyer. And at her time when she became a lawyer, there weren't many female lawyers in Las Vegas. There weren't many female judges in Las Vegas. So, I mean, the times are just changing with the internet. Like, the competition is so much, you know, more vast
right.
and that we have to think differently. We're forced to think differently about our careers, our education system.
Right. Yeah.
Whatever it is, so.
Yeah.
But, yeah, relating that back to the film, I think, is just with that is opportunity. So with all of the competition, so specifically in this film, the mother's character played by Kathleen Quinlan, she has and she thinks the best opportunity for her son, because she has an in with law schools and with kind of that world and stuff, and she just thinks it would be better, even though, you know, at the same coin, the Drew Dawson character is trying to figure it out and is feeling he's being pushed, in this case, medicated to do well or see the way she is seeing.
Yeah, wow. So we're talking about the Kathleen Quinlan, right?
Kathleen Quinlan.
She's amazing. I remember her from Never Promised You a Rose Garden. Mm-hmm. She's more like my generation, but that's why she's the mom here in the movie, right? Yeah. But what was it like working with her? So she was your mom in the movie?
Yes.
And what was that like? I mean, you knew she was a big... She was award-winning. She is an award-winning actress.
And just recently she had, I think, a Lifetime Achievement Award. And I just saw another film of hers that kind of deals with mental illness and mental health, called Elizabeth Blue. So she's working. She's working still, and she did a lot of great films.
A great dramatic actress, right?
Yeah, Apollo 13.
Wow.
So... I mean, just one, her ability as an actress was great, and just getting to work through a couple of the scenes and you know get to dance with her with the cameras rolling, you know, but also just as a person. So got to learn a little bit and see about her as just a giving human.
Yeah. And then how did you get her on the movie? How did you get her interested?
It was quite serendipitous. Our original Kate, that's the name of the mom, bailed on us on day 4 of filming. So we're in the middle of filming, and we had locked up.
Which, were we filming already when that happened?
It was day 4.
I heard through, because I worked on this other project with Margaret Collin, so they had the Gossip Girl connection. So I think it was like a personal emergency, you know what I mean? Like, it was kind of those things that happened. Like, it was a fluke, but, you know, it's trouble for if you're filming a movie, right?
Yeah, and it was unfortunate, and that's why we didn't really make a big stink about it. And so we were given a list from the agent of other actresses, and we had wrapped day 4, and so one of the producers, Jess, and one of the actors in it, Jarrett, I remember we were just sitting in the kitchen, and we're like going through the list, and they're the ones that pick Kathleen, and I'm like, you know, because I was really busy just running around, I'm like, okay, cool, saw some of her stuff again, and I was like, let's roll with her, and she came out, and really, I mean, every actress and actor can bring something different, but the things I learned about filmmaking, about life, she was the perfect fit, and like I said,
how
it was very serendipitous.
How cool is that, huh? So now you came out and you decided, I'm going to make a film. Had you made a film before this?
Two shorts. Short films, yeah.
But so coming out of college, you decided what? I'm going to actually make movies.
First 3 years were just acting, and I hit a ceiling with like the student film circuit, and it was just kind of like, you know, I'm going to make my own stuff. And so I started writing, and, you know, no one's going to make a short film or pay for it, so I'm like, well, let's put this together. My first short film was all Craigslist talent. And so you build, and you take the people you work well with to the next project, and you just kind of keep rolling with it and surrounding yourself with the positive people that are going to make everything come into fruition.
Yeah. But that's a huge undertaking to make a film, you know. How do you, you have to deal with financing and stuff. Was that like on a shoestring type of thing, or?
At first, so my best friend from college, one of my best friends, Brett, his dad financed it. He's the exec producer. And at first, you know, you want to like save money. You don't want to overspend, but some of the times when it's just a learning process of like what
and
should
also you
put money
the short
towards.
Too. He'd made a short film that was same title, right?
Yeah,
and did the film circuit too to kind of generate awareness and get some buzz
to show that
get
I'm
some
competent and know
funds.
What I'm doing.
There you go.
Quite a process.
Yeah,
so, yeah, it was
years worth of it.
Yeah, 7.5 to get here.
Wow. So so you managed to put the film together. Now let's. Promote the film a little bit. First of all, how can we see it?
I'm glad you asked, because I have some really exciting news to announce publicly for the first time.
Okay.
It's available now, but we got on Amazon Prime.
Oh, there you go.
Yeah.
Well, how cool is that?
It's
what a huge opportunity.
Absolutely. That will be December 3rd. So
December 3rd.
Right now, you can still get it on Amazon. You can iTunes, a bunch of cable providers, from DirecTV, Dish Network.
So just take a bunch of Adderall, stay up,
Yeah, there you go. Right, and but you guys can actually catch the trailer on YouTube. Go to Addicted 2017 trailer. You might just want to put in Dan Jensky or something, and that would find you.
You'll find it.
But yeah, between Dan and Luke, we're having a great time here. And so, in the last few minutes, let's give a shout out to a couple more people on the crew. Do you want to, Dan?
I'll do a couple. Shout outs to obviously Tom, Brian, the exec producer, Aaron and Jess, two phenomenal producers, Harry, the cinematographer,
Lauren Sweetser, what up, Gil Bellows.
He'll take care of the actors, I'll take care
of them. Yeah, I noticed that.
Roger
yeah.
and Jeff, John, Jeff Jones.
Harry Firth on the cameras.
Yeah.
That's cool.
Who's camera team two? I was trying to think.
It was Jeff Peek out of Kansas City with Emily.
Jeff Peek, if you're watching and listening, love you, miss you. I mean, it was just great, great team.
Everyone
was great.
It was good energy. Very good energy. Yeah.
Very cool, man. That's awesome, huh? I mean, you must feel a very great sense of accomplishment putting something like this together, huh?
You know, it's funny. I talked about this with Jess, who's also my girlfriend. She was a producer. It's like everything happens at such a slow drip with this, where when you get to a point, it's almost anticlimactic.
Yeah,
where
right.
you're like I was told about Amazon Prime in August, and it was cool. It's kind of like, okay, we got to this spot, but it was kind of like, okay, you're always wanting to know what's next. You try to enjoy it in the moment. You try to so hardly, but. Right. You know, it is an accomplishment, but it's like you just want to keep building and building. And this is essentially like just a foot in the door at this point, you know.
Yeah.
I thought the first short film was a foot in the door, but this is just the foot in the door. So,
and just on that also, you know, giving shout outs to people based on the true story. And, you know, this specifically we geared it toward. Dan did, you know, the Adderall, the attention deficit and stuff. But just being in that time frame of the college and, you know, a lot of the stressors of not knowing what you want to do and where you're going and pressures from all sides.
Yeah.
That being said, there are pressures aside from having certain illness or disability or just problems. So just to, you know, kind of a suicide awareness plug.
The thing is like, I hate the term learning disability because to me, it implies like you're not able to learn. And that's what I was always told when I was taking Adderall, that's what I had. So I think I internalized the negative side of it, that I just can't learn, but really I just learn differently, or I learn in my own way. So I like to really call it like a learning difference, if you will, which is also a stupid
I'll champion
term,
that learning difference, you know? And also I heard I was listening to a podcast recently, like we were also talking about generations before us, but with like even dyslexia, so sometimes having at least a term that is, you know, mutually beneficial is helpful because you can work around it. So if you learn differently, you can do things differently.
Right.
So they were saying back then that they were just dumb.
Right.
You know, so now they can at least know there's a certain way
they learn. I
ended
up after college, because I never got into my hometown school, and my parents were like, military or beauty school? And I was like, I'd rather kill myself. Like, I don't want to do either. So I ended up, I worked with a college counselor, and they found me a really good liberal arts school in Vermont that was for people who learned differently, who had ADHD and dyslexia, and it was in like a really beautiful town in New England. And they purposely put it in this small town in Vermont where there aren't many distractions. You're out in nature, where kids can truly get a college experience, get their their associates, and really kind of learn. I didn't learn how to write a paper until I got to college. I didn't know intro, body, conclusion. It was lost on me in high school because so much emphasis was put on what was wrong with me that I wasn't able to actually focus on the learning side and like getting that education. And there are really great resources out there for people who, you know, don't necessarily want to take the medication route, even though this school does, you know, they're like, yeah, we support people who want to take medications or whatever. But this place really taught me how to learn and how to advocate for my education and just for life in general, because you're not taught these things. They don't teach you them.
Yeah. Now, so guys, why is Adderall so bad? I mean, why are you like...
Why is meth bad?
No, I really want to know.
Have you ever taken
Adderall? No.
Okay, I'll tell you from my personal experience, because I was medicated at a very young age. Aside from the side effects, I mean, it takes away, it took away my personality. It made me irritable. It caused me to have to take other medications because of the side effects that I would go through. I would have cotton mouth. My hands would sweat. I would have nervous sweats. I literally was on meth. At five. And it just, it kills the creative person who you are, that you're just a robot where you're like produce, you know, whatever it is. And you just, it's not a real way to live. And there are people who take this every day. And also to the, I was on these medications, and it affected my weight so bad that, people started to question if I, at a young age, if I had a disorder, if I was being abused. Wow. Because I couldn't eat. I literally was not. I would only be able to eat
like
cereal.
Speed, right?
Oh, yeah.
It's terrible. Yeah. And you at night you clench your jaw. You know that it's horrible physical side effects that the kid should not go. I mean, it should not be prescribed to young kids or anyone. I think the shit should be illegal. But
it is if a company's not selling.
Well, that's the thing. And here's the thing. Cannabis, sativa, has the same effects that Adderall has on me, minus the harmful side effects. Yeah. But I also have my personality with it, too.
Right.
And they are saying that cannabis is really good, is another alternative for people who have ADHD, or, as you know, we've talked about this, is no secret. But it's a horrible drug. And the other thing is, no one really knows the long-term harmful effects of it, because it just hasn't been around long enough to study, you know, what happens to people. Like, we know what happens, and we know it's not good, but, like, who knows, you know, what the long term.
Right. I think it's communication, too. I did a lot of research, too. I never took it. I didn't actually have any of
it's also highly stuff. Addicting.
And basically, I did come across a few people that it was beneficial, or at least the pros outweighed the cons. So I think just really a communication, too. Like, if you're having it, and if you are at a young age, to voice
because look, if it's prescribed a lot and everything, and they make millions of dollars, there's a lot to blame them for, but at the same time, it must be working for somebody, you know. So that's what I'm saying. But you're saying the price of the side effects outweighs the benefits.
I think there's for me personally, the side effects just weren't. Did it work? Yeah, fuck yeah. I mean, I got everything I needed to do done.
Yeah, yeah.
But I mean, it came at a cost. I hated who I was. I would wake up angry. I hated myself.
Really?
It made my depression worse. I was suicidal half the time. So yeah, I got my shit done, but I also didn't want to live. So what's the point of that? You know what I mean? Like,
and
I mean,
you know, going back to the cannabis thing, you know, cannabis, obviously a plant, it's natural. This is synthetic.
Look at
what's happening with GMOs and just stuff in our beauty products that are not natural. We're 100% organic beings. We reject.
And people wonder why we're developing cancer at rapid rates faster than ever before.
Exactly.
Because it's like, we
put garbage in our bodies.
Garbage. And not only that, the government's totally cool with it.
Yes.
They're like, market it. Put them, give it to them more. That plant that grows from the ground that God gave us, fuck that. That's illegal.
I mean, I can go to town on the conspiracy. And it's not even a conspiracy of why cannabis and hemp. I mean, the Declaration of Independence was written.
There's a reason. The pharmaceutical industry, it would replace so many things in the pharmaceutical industry. So many uses outside of the pharmaceutical industry. We could run cars on hemp oil. I mean, like, there's so many things that this plant could replace, and there's a reason why Big Pharma is very against. I mean, it could replace ADHD medication. So,
give him a shout out. Hold on, quickly.
All right, everybody. Yeah,
we just want to give someone a shout out on the Instagram.
Dried shrub. We don't know.
Dried shrub
here. It says that they were prescribed Adderall, and for them, they said it was the worst.
Yeah. Really? So, okay. Well, good thing that you brought it up. At least you open up communication and discussion about it, right?
That's the objective.
And that's the thing. So let's wrap up, folks. The film is Addicted, and so you're saying it'll be on. It's already on Amazon Prime.
December 3rd. December 3rd, we go to
iTunes
Prime.
iTunes now.
You can get it on iTunes, Amazon. Like I said, DirecTV,
VOD,
Dish, VOD,
DVD.
Vimeo. There's like
sounds good.
I got a couple on me right now. If you want, those are the
boots. And your trunks.
I just have them in my trunk downstairs.
Next to your mixtapes.
But there you go. I mean, you know, unfortunately, DVDs are going the way of the dinosaur.
Absolutely.
You know, but
streaming.
But yeah, because it's the easiest, you know. But the thing is that when it comes to digital, you don't really have a physical. Like memory of it, you know what I'm saying? A book, a CD, a movie, whatever, you know, you have it, you can display it on your bookshelf, you know. Yeah. But when you just watch the films, it's like, oh, what, you know, can I actually look at all the films I've ever watched? You know, I can't, you know, books, the same thing. It goes into oblivion or something once you're done with it.
Yeah, it's, you know, we're in a, you know, look at the theater industry, you know, the theater era is done.
Right.
It is archaic. It's done because we can pause TV. We can, you know, it's obviously cheaper to do it at home. We like being in our own surroundings.
Right.
You know, if a movie starts at 7:30, but I want to watch it at 7:41, I'm going to do that.
That's
so
true, right?
We should make our education system like that.
On demand is the way to go.
Yes, yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah. We should customize it. Can you imagine if kids could decide when they wanted, not that when they wanted to learn, but if you could customize it where they woke up naturally and they got to, you know, choose what they wanted to learn that day versus... You know, being forced upon things that they'll never even take with them in their adult lives. I don't know. That's my
mantra. Everything you've said, I've said.
But that's
recently.
Because I think it's because we were the guinea pigs for this, and we really went through it, and we saw that like we're going to do it differently for our kids. I'm not having kids, but if I had kids, it would be done. I think that's probably why, because of what you know from just like I would never want to put someone through that. And I think it's only unless something massively changes, it's only. Like, I want to hope that things will change, and I want to hope that, but until the older generation who makes those decisions kind of dies out and goes away, you know?
We got to go, guys. I mean, cool. I'm totally, like, we're totally out of time. You're welcome back anytime to continue the conversation.
Absolutely.
Tell people how they can find you, get a hold of you, social media, whatever.
Dan Jensky, Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, you know, I'm there.
Okay.
Luke Golden Official on Instagram and Luke Golden on Twitter and now on LA Talk Radio.
There you go. Luke and Dan, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having
Congratulations to you on the film, on your great job there. And I definitely want to see this. I mean, this is fascinating to me, you know. And you made a story out of this, too, so it's not a documentary or anything.
No, I'll send you a copy.
Yeah, sounds good.
You like DVDs. I'll send you a DVD.
Even
so
a DVD. I don't have a DVD player,
what about in
though.
Laser
so it's okay. It's okay.
Digital, the Blu-ray.
Digital is fine with me, man. All right, everybody. Thank you all for joining us. Rachel, thank you as always.
Thanks.
Go
thank
see
you.
Her tonight at the Comedy Store, and we'll see you all tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Rachel, exclusively on LA Talk Radio.